Pardon? 1 and 3. Great is thy faithfulness. Five twenty-eight, and verses 1 and 4. Nearer, my God, to thee. Another one? Someone? 133. From right up front here, 133. First and last. Oh, yes. 56, I heard. Which verses? 1 and 4. Excellent choice.
Thank you.
Good morning. Welcome to the United Methodist Church of Yucaipa, the House of Faith. We want to recognize any and all visitors or guests who might be joining us for worship this morning. We hope that the service will be an inspiration to you. We would like everyone to be sure to sign in on the red pads at the end of your pew so that we can record your attendance here today. And if you're a first-time visitor, please include your contact information so that we could reach you. There are also blue cards in the pews to put your prayer request for our prayer team to acknowledge and address for you. And you can put those in the offering plate at the end when you're exiting the church. We have a special note here. It says that if you come by the church office during the week, please be sure to park at least 10 feet away from the mailbox, or the mail is not delivered to us. Also, only the front gate is unlocked, so park on Beach Street. And we have some birthdays here. These are our October birthdays again. The very special people, and we want them to know today they are wished the nicest things that life can bring your way, like warm and loving wishes, happiness, cheer, and everything you need to start another happy year. And we have a list of all of our October birthday people here, and if you see them, please acknowledge that it is their birthday month. The November newsletter is available in the Narthex, and please contact the church office if you have an email address and can read it online, or if you get one in the mail but can pick it up at the church instead. That helps save time and postage. The November Pastor's Luncheon will take place on November 8th this month at noon at the Legends 8 China Restaurant in Calamasa. It is a wonderful meal. I went last month and enjoyed it thoroughly. There's a special Thanksgiving price this month of only $10. You get a bargain discount. So, but please RSVP and let the office know if you are coming, or you can sign up on the sign-up sheet if you wish. There will be an all-church Thanksgiving meal on Sunday, November 19th, after our worship service. We will be serving turkey, salmon, mashed potatoes and gravy, stuffing, green beans, rolls and butter, cranberry sauce, and pie, pumpkin, apple, or pecan pie. Wow, that's enough to entice anyone to come. Please sign up today with your food preference so we can prepare. We are also the Cereal Church. Donate a few boxes of cereal, canned goods, or other food items anytime you wish to help. You can leave them in the back on the benches there in the Narthex. We will bring all of your items at the end of the month to ICSC so they can be distributed to families in need. The annual charge conference reports are due in the church office no later than November 15th. The first group to get their reports in to Lauren will be eligible for a special prize. How about that? Good deal. Make it a contest. Steve Mickle is looking for gently used adult clothing for inmates that are being released from prison. Mostly male clothing. Requirements, no dress clothes like suit coats or prom gowns, swimsuits, tank tops, or dress shoes. We will take slippers, flip-flops, sneakers, t-shirts, or casual shirts, pants, or jeans. Please wash and fold the clothes. Put them in the Narthex, and Stephen will collect them. You have something to add? Wow, we don't even have to wash the clothes first. What a deal. I Please bring your filled Samaritan's Purse Christmas shoeboxes back by next Sunday. You may fill your own shoebox if you would like. And the November 1st Saturday of the month movie, the Guernsey Literary and Potato Peel Pie Society. I understand this is an excellent, excellent movie. And Deb is wanting to encourage as many people as possible to come to this showing. It is about a writer who forms an unexpected bond with the unique residents of Guernsey Island when she decides to write about their wartime experiences. Sounds very interesting. It's on November 4th, first Saturday of the month at 11 a.m. Please come to that. Is Jenny with us? No? Okay. To Sharon and Jack Kelsey, we wish a happy anniversary with lots of love from Jenny Kelsey. And now please stand as you are able and join me in the call to worship. To all who are imprisoned, God says, come out. To all who are living in darkness, God says, show yourselves. To all who hunger and thirst, God gives food and springs of water. To all who are far away, God makes smooth the way home. God will not forget us. We are inscribed on the palms of God's hands. God holds us with compassion and gives us all we need. Now it's time for our first hymn, which is number 400. We're going to sing verses 1 and 2. It's time for passing of the peace, so turn to your neighbor with greetings and warm embrace, handshakes, all of the above.
Stop the show now.
We also welcome and greet all of the participants via Zoom this morning who are with us. And now it's time to share our joys and concerns. Deb has the microphone to pass around. Anyone with a joy or concern or a need for prayer?
I have a joy. A week ago today, my son and his wife welcomed a new baby into the world, and his name is Jonathan Dolinsky. So we're really proud and happy for them.
I wanted to commend Pastor Phillips. Has worked almost a year to design and order and help put in these partitions that you'll see in fellowship today. So he needs to be commended very well for all of his hard work, and it was quite a feat for him to do all that.
With Dale's help too, but they're very beautiful. I'd like to welcome Tom Crosby.
Thank you. I'm going to go up here. Okay. Yeah, I'm Tom Crosby. I was with my mom when she passed a few days ago. And I was looking forward to coming to this church with her one last time. But sadly, not able to do that. So I suppose this is a joy. 93 years, wonderful life. And a chance for our family to get together. These things happen on births and deaths, unfortunately. Not many times between, as many as we'd like, unfortunately. But I look back on this place with a lot of love, having attended here my whole life, and my family having invested a lot of their time and energy and love in this place as well. So anyway, thank you for letting me speak, and we will be having a memorial service for Mom in mid-December. We're coordinating with the church office.
Thank you, Tom. You're welcome here anytime. Your mom and dad were both very loved.
I'm sure everybody's been following the news, but at the last word, Doctors Without Borders has lost all contact with their doctors in Gaza. I don't know if it's been reestablished yet. A doctor that did it, my hip replacement, was one of those doctors. I don't know if he's over there now, but I spent a lot of time with him. But, you know, that's a pretty bleak situation.
Doctors Without Borders.
He said doctors. Doctors Without Borders in Gaza, they've lost contact with them.
I'm Pat Shores. I have a joy. I get to go see the babies again after church. Allison wants me to come over as soon as I can so we can go down there. That's my highlight of the week every week, is seeing the babies. So I just want to say I'm grateful for that.
Oh, hello. Yeah, I'd like to pray for my wife, Ann, because she's still recovering from the train trip. And then I think I worked her a little bit too hard yesterday putting up a shed. And so her back's really hurting bad. But, yeah, I think she'll be okay. But I told her to take a break. So thank you.
Anyone's on Zoom, please raise your hand and unmute. June and Joyce, do you have something? June, are you trying to unmute? Lower left corner of your screen.
Please join me in the unison prayer. The one who clothes the lilies, feeds the birds, and cares for us too, helps us to cease our worrying and all our strivings. That day, to our lives, that day to day, calm trust in you until we find what we seek above all, your kingdom. In Jesus' name, amen.
In keeping in the spirit of prayer, I would like to offer you a few moments of silence to offer your own prayers up, and then I will close in prayer. Gracious and loving God, you are the source of life and peace. Praise be your name forever. We know it is you who turns our minds to thoughts of peace. Hear our prayer in this time of crisis, of violence, and of prejudice. Your power changes hearts. Muslims, Christians, and Jews remember and profoundly affirm that they are followers of the one true God, children of Abraham, brothers and sisters. Enemies begin to speak to one another. Those who were estranged join hands in friendship. Nations seek the way of peace together. Strengthen our resolve to give witness to these truths by the way we live. Please offer to us understanding that puts an end to conflict and fighting, mercy that quenches hatred and prejudice, and forgiveness that overcomes vengeance. Empower all people to live in your principle of love. Our God, our only hope, hear us. Lead through the weariness we should not wish to seek you. Give us the strength to seek again. You who have given us the hope of finding you more and more. We ask for wisdom. We ask for strength to begin the journey of living in the Spirit with simplicity, hopefulness, and peace. We ask these things in the name of the one who taught his disciples so long ago to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us our trespasses, as we give those who trespass against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
And now it's time for our Young at Heart moments with Deb Davidson.
Today's story is Stella Luna by Janelle Cannon. In a warm and sultry forest far, far away, there lived a mother fruit bat and her new baby. Oh, how mother bat loved her soft, tiny baby. "I'll name you Stella Luna," she crooned. Each night, mother bat would carry Stella Luna clutched to her breast as she flew out to search for food. One night, as Mother Bat followed the heavy scent of ripe fruit, an owl spied her. On silent wings, the powerful bird swooped down upon the bats. Dodging and shrieking, Mother Bat tried to escape, but the owl struck again and again, knocking Stella Luna into the air.
Her baby wings were as limp and useless as wet paper. Down, down she went, faster and faster, into the forest below. The dark, leafy tangle of branches caught Stella Luna as she fell. One twig was small enough for Stella Luna's tiny feet. Wrapping her wings about her, she clutched the thin branch, trembling with cold and fear. "Mother," Stella Luna squeaked, "where are you?" By daybreak, the baby bat could hold on no longer. Down, down again she dropped. Flump. Stella Luna landed headfirst in a soft downy nest, startling the three baby birds who lived there. Stella Luna quickly clambered from the nest and hung out of sight below it. She listened to the babble of the three birds. "What was that?" cried Flap. "I don't know, but it's hanging by its feet," chirped Flitter. "Shh, here comes Mama," hissed Pipped. Many, many times that day, Mama Bird flew away, always returning with food for her babies. Stella Luna was terribly hungry, but not for the crawly things Mama Bird brought. Finally, though, the little bat could bear it no longer. She climbed into the nest, closed her eyes, and opened her mouth. Plop! In dropped a big green grasshopper. Stella Luna learned to be like the birds. She stayed awake all day and slept at night. She ate bugs, even though they tasted awful. Her bat ways were quickly disappearing, except for one thing. Stella Luna still liked to sleep hanging by her feet. Once, when Mama was away, the curious baby birds decided to try it too. When Mama Bird came home, she saw eight tiny feet gripping the edge of the nest. "Eek!" she cried. "Get back up here this instant. You're going to fall and break your necks." The little birds clambered back into the nest, but Mama Bird stopped Stella Luna. "You are teaching my children to do bad things. I will not let you back into this nest unless you promise to obey all the rules of this house." Stella Luna promised. She ate bugs without making faces. She slept in the nest at night, and she didn't hang by her feet. Stella Luna behaved as a good bird should. All the babies grew quickly. Soon the nest became crowded. Mama Bird told them it was time to learn to fly. One by one, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna jumped from the nest. Their wings worked. "I'm just like them," thought Stella Luna. "I can fly too." Pip, Flitter, and Flap landed gracefully on a branch. Stella Luna tried to do the same. How embarrassing. "I will fly all day," Stella Luna told herself. "Then no one will see how clumsy I am." The next day, Pip, Flitter, Flap, and Stella Luna went flying far from home. They flew for hours, exercising their new wings. "The sun is setting," warned Flitter. "We had better go home or we will get lost in the dark," said Flap. But Stella Luna had flown far ahead and was nowhere to be seen. The three anxious birds went home without her. All alone, Stella Luna flew and flew until her wings ached and she dropped into a tree. "I promised not to hang by my feet," Stella Luna sighed, so she hung by her thumbs and soon fell asleep. She didn't hear the soft sound of wings coming near. "Hey," a loud voice said, "why are you hanging upside down?" Stella Luna's eyes opened wide. She saw a most peculiar face. "I'm not upside down, you are," Stella Luna said. "Ah, but you're a bat. Bats hang by their feet. You are hanging by your thumbs, so that makes you upside down," the creature said. "I am a bat. I'm hanging by my feet. That makes me right side up." Stella Luna was confused. "Mama Bird told me I was upside down. She said I was wrong. Wrong for a bird, maybe, but not for a bat." More bats gathered around to see the strange young bat who behaved like a bird. Stella Luna told them her story. "You ate bugs?" stuttered one. "You slept at night?" gasped another. "How very strange," they all murmured. "Wait, wait, let me look at this child," a bat pushed through the crowd. "An owl attacked you?" she asked. Sniffing Stella Luna's fur, she whispered, "You are Stella Luna. You are my baby." You escaped the owl, cried Stella Luna. You survived? Yes, said Mother Bat as she wrapped her wings around Stella Luna. Come with me and I'll show you where to find the most delicious fruit. You'll never have to eat another bug as long as you live. But it's nighttime, Stella Luna squeaked. We can't fly in the dark or we'll crash into trees. We're bats, said Mother Bat. We can see in the darkness. Come with us. Stella Luna was afraid, but she let go of the tree and dropped into the deep blue sky. Stella Luna could see. She felt as though rays of light shone from her eyes. She was able to see everything in her path. Soon the bats found a mango tree, and Stella Luna ate as much of the fruit as she could hold. I'll never eat another bug as long as I live, cheered Stella Luna as she stuffed herself full. I must tell Pip, Flitter, and Flap. The next day, Stella Luna went to visit the birds. Come with me and meet my bat family, said Stella Luna. Okay, let's go, agreed Pip. They hang by their feet and they fly at night and they eat the best food in the world, Stella Luna explained to the birds on the way. As they flew among the bats, Pip Flap said, I feel upside down here, so the birds hung by their feet. Wait until dark, Stella Luna said excitedly. We will fly at night. When night came, Stella Luna flew away. Pip, Flitter, and Flap leapt from a tree to follow her. I can't see a thing, yelled Pip. Neither can I, howled Flitter. Ah, shrieked Flap. They're going to crash, gasped Stella Luna. I must rescue them. Stella Luna swooped about, grabbing her friends in the air. She lifted them to a tree, and the birds grasped a branch. Stella Luna hung from a limb above them. We're safe, said Stella Luna. Then she sighed. I wish you could see in the dark, too. I wish you could land on your feet, Flitter replied. Pip and Flap nodded. They perched in silence for a long time. How can we be so different and feel so much alike, mused Flitter. And how can we feel so different and be so much alike, wondered Pip. This is quite a mystery, Flap chirped. I agree, said Stella Luna, but we're friends, and that's a fact. May we all love each other despite our differences. Amen.
And now it's time for our next hymn, My Hope is Built, number 368, verses 1 through 3.
Thank you. And now it's time for our scripture reading this morning, which is Psalm number 131. O Lord, my heart is not lifted up, my eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great and too marvelous for me. But I have calmed and quieted my soul. I am like a weaned child with its mother. My soul is like a weaned child that is with me. Israel, put your hope in the Lord from this time on and forevermore. The word of God for the people of God.
It is good to be here to worship with you and home again in Southern California. And it is always my honor to give Pastor Phillips a rest. On the fifth Sundays of the month, he gets to relax and be with Becky, his wife. I hope he's doing that today. So thank you for welcoming me here to worship with you. Friends, will you pray with me? Gracious and loving God, I open my heart to your Spirit so Jesus may take the words from my mouth and my heart to be acceptable to you as I share them with these friends today. Amen. I was not quite 4 years old. My little sister was 21 months younger. We were really mad at our mom. She wouldn't take us to Grandma's house. It was a warm summer afternoon, so she'd stripped us to our panties and put us to bed for a nap. And I'm sure it was some peace and quiet from some of us and our nagging. This tenacious child had apparently decided that we had had enough of Mom and we were going to Grandma's house no matter what. Also, not thinking that we probably would get into trouble. After all, we were mere children. What did we know? Grandma's house was on the other side of town, about 10 miles away from our house. I got out of bed, and I helped my sister out of the crib. This is where the story gets a bit fuzzy, because Mom doesn't know how we got out of the house. And of course, I can't remember, but we did. We got out of the house. The next scene to our story is there are two small girls, only in their panties, crossing Florida Avenue in Hemet. The older one holding up her hand to stop the traffic, and the other one holding on to her little sister as they walked across the street as confidently as they could. My uncle and his girlfriend, still in high school, had just left school and were driving home. He says to his girlfriend, "Oh, aren't they cute? They look just like Dina and Diana." "That is Dina and Diana." They turn around, pick us up, and ask us where they thought we were going. "Well, we're going to Grandma's house, of course." To our chagrin, he didn't take us to Grandma's house. He took us home. Leaving us in the car, he went to the front door and asked Mom, who was his older sister, if she knew where we were. "Well, yes, of course. They're taking a nap in their beds. Why do you ask?" "No, they're in my car. They were walking across. They were going to Grandma's house. We found him walking across busy Florida Avenue, which is about a mile from our house." When retelling the story, it always seems to end there. There's no more to the story, but I bet Mom was mortified. I am absolutely sure we were punished, and I do know for a fact we never tried that again. Our psalm today is not about a tenacious, determined child, such as in our story, or, in the moment, clueless mom, but rather a baby, more than likely in a sling tied to the mother's body and a mother who is approaching the presence of God. Most theological analysts have accepted that once spoken, the author of this psalm is a woman, or at the very least is quoting a woman, the mother of the child. And why is this important or relevant? A woman, a young mother, is engaging in a liturgical tradition and might have been wise to disclaim because she was stepping out of her place before she could speak any further. My eyes are not raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. Maybe an apology, not in the sense of Christian doctrine, but in the sense of an actual apology for intruding into male space in a time and place where that religious behavior was not universally accepted. Hence, the psalm is portrayed as a servant with a humble submission to be in God's presence. Our first verse communicates the ways that the speaker is not like God. Rather, the speaker begins by placing her ego in check. It is a theme of humility and trust. The first words of the psalm help to focus the attention, to put aside things with which we should not be concerning ourselves, and to find a place in which we can worship in a humble, trusting recipient of God's abundant grace. My heart is not lifted up. My eyes aren't raised too high. I do not occupy myself with things too great or too marvelous for me. So here's a challenge for you this week. I would like for you to ponder a question. Ask yourselves, when you enter the presence of God in prayer, are you occupying yourself with wanting more? More of anything, such as things or toys or better health, less pain, less grief, more happiness, more joy, more love, more, well, anything, fill in the blank. Let us try to observe just this week how you approach God in prayer. In verse 2, we're offered, I have calmed and quieted my soul. What do you think that means? I don't know. I often don't feel calm or quiet in the depths of my soul. Often my soul feels like a blender that I have just dumped a lot of stuff into. Spinach, berries, protein powder, milk, chia seeds. I turn on the button to liquefy it, and then I watch it swirl from a whole lot of different things into a nice smooth drink. The difference is, unlike the blender full, when my soul has a lot of things that are overwhelming it, when I push the button of prayer, nothing changes. All the things stay the things. They whirl around in my head, but they still stay whatever they are. The entire point of this psalm takes me back to verse 1. My heart needs to be in the right place. The psalmist begins the liturgical reflection with a humble, trusting heart. By the way, this isn't easy. We usually go to prayer, with something we want. There's an agenda to our prayers. So thinking that God will answer our wants the way we want them, we follow the steps that we have been taught, probably as a child. Open with thankfulness, ask for forgiveness, ask for what you want, and close with words like, and if it be your will, amen. We are often more focused on the asking for what we want that we lose sight of approaching God with a humble and trusting heart. We want or need something to be done that is not being done. So while we can approach with a humble heart, we are still thinking about what we're going to ask for. What would it look like if your first prayer in the morning was a very simple prayer to start your day? And it sounded something like this. Gracious God, I come humbly into your presence with gratitude for a life that is blessed and honored by you. What do you need me to do for you today? Then pause and listen. Listen to your heart for the still small voice of God. Listen for 5 minutes in silence. Could you actually be quiet and calm and still and just listen for 5 whole minutes? I know I can't do that. Too many thoughts pop into my head for immediate attention. Pretty soon I'm having conversations with other people in my head, chewing them out or telling them how to solve a problem, making lists, solving problems, and yes, I have stopped listening for that still, small, quiet voice. I asked, but I quickly stopped listening. A calm, quiet soul is what is needed for listening, for that deep listening for God's voice. Oh, and by the way, you can't ask God for that. Only you can calm your soul and be prepared to enter in God's presence. Ending your prayer was just simply, Thank you, Lord. Amen. You may not get an answer right away. In our everyday lives of instant gratification, we get impatient with God because we do not get immediate answers. A conversation between Jesus and his disciples can really help us right now. In Acts, after the resurrection and before the ascension and Pentecost, Jesus has one final conversation with his followers. As though they sense something that's imminent, they begin to question him. Lord, Lord, is this the time for your kingdom to come? Are all of our hopes and our dreams and those unfulfilled longings of our ancestors, are they soon to be realized? Will they be fulfilled, Lord? Lord, is this the time when you'll restore the kingdom? Paradoxically, Jesus answers by saying, it is not for you to know the answers. It is not for you to know the time or the duration that the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witness to the ends of the earth. The disciples' task and our task is not to know all the answers or to assure others with certainties, but instead to live by a radical faith that waits on the Spirit, that works in the Spirit's power, and therefore makes a witness in the world to the life-giving love of God. Said another way, our task here on earth is not to give easy answers or quick fixes, but to follow in the way. Jesus never said, sure, I'll give you all the answers. What he did say, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So with the prayer of the psalm, we as God's people are to pray faithfully, humbly, and trustingly. We are to deepen a devotional life that is utterly honest about the ambiguity of the world and utterly confident in the goodness of God. As a newly ordained pastor, I felt obligated to have all the answers to all of the questions that people asked. I didn't have all the answers. Sometimes I didn't even understand the questions. I hope that I have wised up enough to appreciate that God doesn't want us to have all the answers, but rather to always seek to deepen the relationship with God and the Holy Spirit by listening and calming and quietly. It feels like the older I get, the more challenging we as humans have made Christianity. We've made it more complex, more difficult, more complicated, and it has set up impossible standards by which people who are seeking to figure out who Jesus is, they can't possibly begin to meet. So we have lost a lot of people. We miss the opportunities that God has given us to be his witness. Jesus tried to teach us that it shouldn't be that hard to love others as they are. We are the ones that have made it difficult. At the age of 50 years old, when I was a newly minted Christian, I was full of questions, opinions, and a hunger to learn. So I joined a class that studied Scripture one verse at a time. It was tedious. It was sometimes boring in the beginning. And then it began to make more sense and a lot easier to incorporate a new practice into my everyday learning on how to live a Christ-like life. Over time, that method of study has gotten lost. Taking large chunks of Scripture and making a three-point sermon out of it that makes sense, challenging you to try something new the next week while honoring God, became my study of Scripture. Mind you, that's not bad, and I love preparing a sermon. It just no longer calmed my soul where I could listen to the call of, what can I do for you today, Lord? The difference became clear. I was just completing a task for others to hear versus listening with a calm soul. This summer, the Holy Spirit offered an opportunity to go back to studying Scripture simply. Someone asked if they could study Scripture with me while they traveled a very tough journey. We began with a psalm. We read and we reflected on one verse. We wrote notes to each other about what we thought it meant and kept notes in a journal. Then we went on to the next verse, applying the same pattern of study, and then the next verse, and then the next verse, until we completed an entire psalm. The last step we did was we read through the notes in our journals that we were keeping to see what threads and themes emerged from the notes, selecting a behavior that we could practice the next week. We selected a second psalm and studied through that. At the beginning of the studying of the third psalm, my soul finally began to quiet itself, and the ability to listen quietly and calmly for God's voice began to be present again. My study partner began to see that trusting God and not have all the answers, and to stop asking God for answers, she too became calm in the midst of her hurricane-like storm of a journey. Please don't think this is the end of the story that is a happily ever after story. It wasn't, and it isn't. We struggled, we stumbled, we cried, we laughed. We forgot to do them for a day or two, and we still do. However, we have calmer souls, quieter moments with Yahweh, our Lord, and the peace that God has the answers, and we don't need them in order to trust that Yahweh has our back and our souls. We have lost sight of approaching God with a humble and trusting God. If you don't feel that you have a calm and a quieted soul, that of a mother and child, instead of praying for calmer answers, stop praying for a bit and go back to the scriptures. Reflect on one verse at a time until the Spirit begins to speak to you through God's word. Studying scripture this way is another way of creating a space and a communication between you and the Holy Spirit. And lastly, we have in verse 3, like the Israelites, we are asked to put our hope in the Lord now and forevermore. Listen with a quiet heart for what God is calling you to do to further the kingdom of God. It may be rather small and insignificant to you, or it could be huge. Trust with a humble heart that God will never leave your side wherever you are on your journey of living a Christ-like life in and out of every day. Amen.
Every morning. is only by His grace. Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone.
Sing with us now, please.
Grace alone, which God supplies, strength unknown, He will provide. Christ in us, our cornerstone.
With what shall we come before the Lord this day? We come with a love of justice and passion for sharing Christ's love. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we offer a portion of the gifts that God freely shares with us. We thank you that you have blessed us with an abundance of gifts. May this offering in our life, talents, and labor show your love as we seek to share your promise with all people we meet. Amen.
And now our closing hymn is the Spirit of God insert. It's a new one for many of us, and the words are a little tricky here and there, but we're going to get the hang of it.
Thank you.
Spirit, come. Now verse 5. Spirit of God in all, we gladly hear your call. The life in our hands that sings the power of your wings. Born of your grace, we rise, love shining in our eyes.
Thank you for worshiping with us here today. It's so good to see all of you. I'd like to thank David for leading music and tackling two new songs this week, and Bruce, who accompanied him along with Colleen. Thank you for all of your work, and for the office who did our bulletins, and for those of you who kept us in your prayers this week. Thank you. We have felt blessed this week. In the next 7 days, I'd like for you to try a simple morning prayer, coming into the presence of God humbly and just asking, what can I do for you today, Lord? And then spend the day listening and watching for the opportunities God brings before you. Our benediction. Desmond Tutu often prayed this prayer. Goodness is stronger than evil. Love is stronger than hate. Light is stronger than darkness. Life is stronger than death. Victory is ours through Christ, who loved us first. Amen. Go now in peace.